guess what, guys?
We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
If you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor.
That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery.
We love you guys.
And we want you to continue to be in our OSLP family forever.
So be careful and consult your doctors. Guys, we all need our vitamins after surgery, regardless of what you think.
Yes.
It's a must.
Yes. So why not choose the easiest and the best tasting in the community?
Seriously, it's ProCare, guys. ProCare is so delicious. I use their chewable for over a year. That's how I know.
Yes. And I love their capsules.
Yes.
Love them. They're once a day. I take them at night. Yes. The calcium chews. They have mocktail ones.
So go over to procarenow.com and use our code OSLP to save some money.
Are you feeling lost, alone, maybe a little unsupported in your bariatric journey?
Well, if you are, we have a great resource for you. It's called the Tribe Membership, and they have support groups every single day with experts in their field who also had bariatric surgery. Comes with journal prompts, workouts, and recipes, you name it. They got it.
You'll never feel alone again once you join the tribe. Now go over to thesleevedietitian.com and use code OSLP at checkout. Welcome back, OSLP family.
Welcome, welcome.
You are listening to Our Sleeve Life podcast, and this is Kelly.
This is Mel.
And we are on a boat.
We're on a boat.
We're on a boat right now. So if you are not watching this, you are listening to this, you need to go over to our YouTube, hit subscribe, hit the little bell so you can see we are on a lake right now. With Miss Connie Stapleton.
That's right. Captain Connie.
Captain Connie.
I am the captain.
You are the captain.
Captain of the ship, man.
She's got it all down, man.
If the thing starts, we're in good shape.
Exactly. She knows where she's going.
Let's hope it starts.
She knows all the things.
Yeah. In fact, I have the little number to the come tow me home.
Oh, I didn't know there was a boat towing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
just in case.
We are going to talk about boundaries.
Yes, we are. Today. Perfect. We're on a boat with boundaries.
We have boundaries of not being in this water by being in this boat.
That's right.
Exactly. That's exactly. Right. Okay. So how do we start doing the process of creating boundaries for yourself?
Oh, let's clarify there, because I loved what you just said. Setting boundaries for yourself.
Yes. We had talked about that.
We did. So mostly when we talk about setting boundaries, we talk about, I'm going to set boundaries with my friends. I'm going to set boundaries with my mother, my mother-in-law, whomever, right?
Yeah.
But it's always them.
Yeah. Always them. Right.
Yeah.
And we think it's tough to set boundaries with other people. Wait till you try setting them with yourself.
Oh, yes.
Especially after surgery.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it's imperative that you set them for yourself after surgery.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
What kind of examples of boundaries after surgery could we set for ourselves?
Okay. So how about when it comes to eating whatever you want, whenever you want it?
Oh, fair.
Putting yourself on a schedule.
Well, you know, think about it. You have a kid.
Yes.
I have kids. I have grandkids. You have stepchildren.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Bonus children.
Yeah. Bonus children.
Right. So when you and your kids are high school age.
Yeah.
Do you expect them to do their homework?
Yes.
And when they say, I don't want to do my homework?
You have to do it.
I tell them
that's your job.
All right. Right. So we expect them to do what they're supposed to do. So when we have weight loss surgery, and before you have surgery, you tell the doctor, yes, I will do this. 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 And you have a hard day at the office and you want the cookies.
Yep.
Or you want to go through the fast food.
Right.
The drive-through.
Yeah. And again, we got to be clear. There's nothing wrong with.
No. Sometimes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But let's say every day you're just like, well, I had a bad day. I deserve this.
I hate my job.
Right. Whatever it is. Or today you're mad at your husband. Tomorrow you're pissed at the boss. The next day you're pissed because it's raining.
Right.
Okay.
So we have all these reasons why we want what we want when we want it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I don't like the term deserve because like you can use it for anything.
That is one of my least favorite ones on the planet.
Same. Yeah.
I deserve. Why? Because you went to work today?
Yeah. Good job.
You were
did what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You people today.
Yeah.
Good job.
Or like I've taken my vitamins 5 days in a row. I deserve to have a cookie.
I'm telling you, it pisses me off. It's like one of my least favorite words on the planet.
I love it.
When it comes to that.
It's annoying.
Yes.
It's very annoying. Mm-hmm. And I joke about it. It's like, you deserve a cookie?
Yeah.
You know, what logic is that?
Yeah.
So your kid does their homework 4 days in a row. And so tomorrow they don't have to do it. They still have to do it.
They have to do it.
And the reason I bring up the kids is because we expect them to do their things. Mm-hmm. We don't give them, you know, a pass. We don't make 1,000 different excuses why they don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But we let ourselves off the hook, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we do every time.
Right. Yep.
So what do you do?
How do you do that?
How do you do it?
I mean, I talk to myself. Okay. And that's what I do, is I kind of like talk myself down and kind of figure out why.
Why do I want it like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which took a long time. For those people that are prelim post-op, that was not the case.
No.
This took years of like working on myself and understanding, like, you can talk to yourself, you can talk yourself down, and you can figure out why you want something.
So can we do a role play with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So one would be an example of when you would be in a situation like that.
So especially Anne, I'm not trying to be mean, but when you bring over cookies, it's really hard for me. So
are you saying when you, meaning
no,
your partner in crime
her,
here?
No, her friend, Anne. Her friend Anne.
Oh,
Anne.
You said Anne.
I see you, Anne.
Anne,
we see you.
What up with cookies?
Yes.
Sabotage cookies.
Oh my goodness. It's so good. But I have to, like, when it was there, I had a time. I was like, no, those are not for you. Those are for the other people. Like, we don't eat this anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Don't even look at it.
You know what? I love this example because how do you set a boundary with Anne, the cookie bringer over?
Oh, after that day, because she hasn't actually. After that day, I walked out there because I was like, you got to take them. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the cookies.
Yeah.
You have to take them. Like, all I want to do is eat all of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I literally, because I broke the talk to myself. And I ate 5 in 30 minutes.
Ooh.
So she's like, what? She's like, how did you do that? I go, I don't know. That's why I need them not here.
Yeah, they just can't be in
I just kept walking by and I was like, 1 or 2 is fine, right? It is 1 or 2 is fine.
Right.
The first time
that you pass not by. 5. Could you set up a boundary with yourself of saying, like, these things are just not going to be brought into the house?
Yeah.
If it's a kryptonite thing for you like that,
yeah.
Pretty much everybody knows what their kryptonite foods are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's wise to do it. Do you have to do it?
No.
That's on you, right? You got to choose.
Yep.
But it's wise to do that.
Yeah.
So for you,
No cookies in the house.
Yeah. That's a boundary with self.
Good.
But then you have people who bring you the cookies.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you want to know the therapeutic way to do it?
Yes. Of course.
And when you bring cookies into my house, it makes it really difficult for me because this is a trigger for me.
Yes.
I would really appreciate you not bringing them. Easy. So let's say Anne brings them in again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anne, I've asked you in the past not to bring the cookies in the house. They're a real big trigger for me. So I'm going to ask you to walk them right back out to your car.
Ooh, I like that.
Wow. Third time Anne brings the cookies.
Third time.
Anne, if you bring cookies to my house again, I'm going to ask you not to come.
Yeah.
Like, we're not playing here. This is my freaking life.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And if you're my friend and I have said this to you
multiple times
and I mean it.
Yeah.
And you keep doing it, then I have to ask, what is this about?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because then it feels like it's something else.
Right. Like, are you trying to sabotage me?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
What up with that?
It would make sense that if you're repeatedly ignoring the request to not bring these things into the house, it is a sort of sabotage.
Well, and I've had both where Anne actually, first time, never again. And then my ex would just keep bringing everything in or ordering it. And I'm like, stop.
Okay, so let's talk about that because you were in the same house, right?
I was in the same house.
So what do you do when you're living with somebody and they absolutely don't respect what you're asking of them?
I mean, I yelled at him and was like, I feel like you disrespect me.
Well,
absolutely.
I literally was like, I feel like you hinder me and you're sabotaging my journey.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the therapeutic version of that?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. Just to make it a little more accurate.
Okay.
Okay.
So what was it you said? You're making me.
You're hindering me.
You're hindering me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the feeling?
I felt disrespected.
Okay. Well, you did it right, actually. Well, actually, sort of.
Okay.
You're hindering me.
Uh-huh.
Is like, he can do whatever he wants.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's grown a grown-ass man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring this stuff into the house, I feel disrespected.
Yep.
That's great. I feel disrespected.
Yeah.
As opposed to you're disrespecting me.
Okay.
Right. So what we want to do is always own the feeling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because otherwise, I mean, clearly 99 people out of 100 would say he's disrespecting.
Yeah.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't have the right to impose
correct
that judgment.
Okay.
You just have to
write. Because that might not be.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
You know, given the devil's right advocate over here, it might not be what he was,
right,
you know, intended.
And then you're right also giving him food for argument.
Yep.
Right? You don't get to, determine argument what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You don't get to ascribe meaning to my behavior. Right? So we can go on and on and make ourselves vomit with that. But,
yeah.
So if we always go with, I feel disrespected, I feel sabotaged, I feel
okay
whatever.
We're not putting a name to whatever they're
right
arguing.
And then what are they going to argue? You don't get to determine how I feel
yeah
either.
You don't get to dictate
so
that.
This would work with more than just boundaries. Like, this is just arguments in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
I statements.
Absolutely.
And saying, like, this is how I am feeling when
always
these incident when these things happen.
Always. Yeah. And
okay
what do? We say, you
made
me
mad
feel.
Yeah, yeah.
You made me mad.
Yep.
Right? When the truth of the matter is, I could find what you said laughable.
Yeah.
I could find it infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
I could find it neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be, I feel,
okay,
because people may have different responses.
Yeah.
Now, when you're with somebody a long time, you know what buttons to push.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yep,
again, to avoid arguments, when you do this, I feel this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right? So, back to boundaries with self.
Yes.
Isn't it easier to blame somebody else than to take ownership of
100%. I will.
Yeah,
totally
I think it's our
agree
nature almost to
mm-hmm
like,
yeah,
to be like, oh, point the finger
mm-hmm
instead
absolutely
of like owning. Because when you own it, it hurts, kind of.
Right.
It does
absolutely
hurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and you always want to think that you're putting your best yourself first and intending the best things for yourself.
Absolutely.
That is not always the case, I found.
Yeah. For example,
when I would sneakily eat nutty bars in the middle of the night. And
mm
if I took them in my pocket, nobody saw them.
Right.
Then I wasn't hurting myself. And if I didn't think about it the next day, I don't know why I'm gaining weight.
It's like it didn't happen.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a whole other
happened
thing. It never happened.
No one saw it.
But when you're eating boxes and boxes of nutty bars and not taking ownership of that,
yeah,
of like, because the moment that I took ownership of it with myself and said, I know why I'm gaining weight.
Right.
I'm doing this to myself.
Right.
But I don't know how to stop.
There you go.
Then you're asking, like, then I ask for help moving
exactly
forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a hard boundary.
Until we can look at our own behavior, because
mm-hmm
we can, there's nobody we can bamboozle better than ourselves.
Oh, 1,000%.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And you can sit in a room with somebody else and go, Jesus, look what they're doing. When you're doing the same damn thing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to acknowledge our own weaknesses or
yeah
our own
yeah
ways we sabotage.
Yeah, self-sabotage. Like, I feel like you're so used to doing it
mm-hmm
in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about, like, all of...
Sorry.
Excuse me.
Chicago is calling. I don't know.
Who is Chicago?
Chicago is calling.
Illinois.
Meg, is it you?
I know. It's like, Meg, I got your phone number. Stop calling me from strangers. Weirdo.
I know from, like, diets and diet culture, right? We self-sabotage ourselves. We say, I've been good all week, so I'm going to go out to dinner and drinks tonight.
Right.
And then it says, well, I haven't eaten horribly in a couple weeks, so I'm just going to eat all weekend.
Right.
And we're already sabotaging because now we're moving from being in a, you know, a healthy path.
Mm-hmm.
Not that all diets are healthy because
right
diet
that's
culture
true
is real. But we're bringing ourselves out of that mindset into I'm
right
going to eat whatever I want.
Right.
Right.
And so it's in my head, I think that's like the biggest self-sabotage.
Absolutely. The all or nothing.
Yep.
Right? And because
yep
most people don't recover from the all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's all, we don't go back to
we
nothing.
We don't go back.
Which
no
isn't good in any way, shape,
no
or form, right?
No.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to have 2 cookies today.
Right.
Right? And then on the weekend, I don't have to go eat everything in sight.
Exactly.
Right? So
yeah
not depriving yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And not doing the all or nothing, because it's set up for failure almost every time.
I think that would kind of be a boundary for myself that I could set, is the, I don't have to restrict myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, giving myself the
permission.
The permission to eat the things that I know are, what's the word? Nutrient dense.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that is
nutrient good. Dense.
Nutrient dense it. Food, because there is no bad and good.
Right.
It's whether it's nutrient dense or it's not.
Right.
In my brain.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think especially since starting the GLP-1, my brain is able to compute that a little bit easier.
And you can stop easier.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel so out of control.
Right.
But I know I need to work on giving myself permission to eat.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I'm working on is creating permission slip pads.
Oh, right? Okay.
Because we are so rigid with ourselves sometimes. And it's a tricky topic for me, mm-hmm. because I think for the 90%+ of people,
mm-hmm. yeah,
anything's okay in moderation.
Correct.
Yeah.
There are people for whom that is not the case.
Yes.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
If I am a person, well, I am a person.
Yes, you are.
You are a person.
Yes, you are a person.
I am not a robot. For me, mm-hmm. one drink is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Okay. Because I have sort of this allergy called addiction. Mm-hmm. One drink is not enough, and one drink is too many, and 1,000 is not enough. Okay. Right? When I start, there's no off switch.
Yeah.
That's the case for some people with certain foods,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. There are certain people who have an absolute addiction to sugar, and if they start, they don't stop.
Yep.
So I know a lot of professionals disagree with me on this, but I am absolutely sure
yeah.
that this is the case, that for some people, don't start it because mm-hmm. it's a very slippery slope. In mm-hmm. fact, I'm on a committee of 30 people
universally
who are working to get sugar addiction, food addiction added to the ICD-10.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Yes.
I know Ashton wants that. The sugar detox lady wants that.
Yes. So it is being worked on, and I am so excited to have been asked to be on that committee.
Ooh, oh my God.
So we are in the works.
Congratulations.
Yes, finally. Because
I know.
We did our first live show at the bariatric retreat, the first one. And we did it with, what was the doctor's name? She's a therapist.
I can picture her too.
Oh, we actually went through Dr. Shapiro.
Yeah.
We went through Jennifer Shapiro.
There you go. Yeah, full name.
Yeah, full name.
Got it.
We went through
the criteria.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about, and she said, you know, asked us questions like, have you ever done this? Have mm-hmm. you ever done this?
Mm-hmm.
And it is true.
Literally said yes absolutely. To every single
yeah.
one.
And only three yeses
count.
Only three yeses meets the criteria. Yeah.
And we answered every one of those yes.
Yes.
I think there was 10 questions.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, how can they just say that it's not?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to
absolutely.
Me. Like, it's
yeah.
right there in black and white on paper.
Absolutely.
It's like, just because you guys have stigma, I don't care about your stigma. These are facts.
Hence the book.
Yeah.
Weight loss surgery does not treat food addiction.
No, it does not.
Does not yes. treat
does not.
Food addiction.
It's and a tool. It does
it
not treat food addiction.
Yes. Well, and it doesn't cure your mindset. It doesn't yeah. cure your ability to set boundaries with yourself.
Exactly.
It doesn't cure any of the cause of the weight gain.
Or the regain.
Yeah. Because that's the one I learned.
Yeah. So when I talk to patients and they're telling me, well, you know, my this friend died and my kids are on, you know, having problems and my marriage is in my job. And I'm like, so you're having surgery because you're a stress eater. You're an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. It's comfort for you.
Yeah.
That is not something surgery does.
No.
It does not teach you the coping skills.
Nope. That's why it's so important to do therapy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So imperative,
absolutely.
Especially for people that feel out of control. Or you're a stress eater, or you're trying to control something. Yeah.
yeah.
You're trying to control something in your life, and the only thing you can control is your food.
Well, and I know we're talking about boundaries more with ourselves, but I notice with me, if I don't when I don't set boundaries with other people, then I break my own boundaries. And then right. I'm at home in my bed
right.
eating garlic bread or right. cookies.
Because if you continue to allow and bring the cookies over,
right. then but you're now screwed. I have them and right. now I'm eating them.
Well, and isn't that a form of self-sabotage though? Because it's you're
a form of self-sabotage.
You're not dealing with the root of the issue. You're right. saying, oh, Anne's bringing them over.
Right. And whose issue Anne's is it? Fault. Is it an Anne issue or a me issue at this point?
Right.
Well, it's a you issue yes. because you're not going to Anne's house.
Right.
She's yeah. bringing them over and you're allowing them to be brought over because secretly you want to have the cookies. You want yes. to have the excuse
exactly.
for yourself.
You still get it.
You're like, oh, it's here. Might as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Well, once they're gone, I mean, it's fine.
That's what my favorite happened. Crumble cookie.
Crumble cookie.
Yes. So we did a bachelorette party and the bride's sister decided to order crumble cookie. Mm-hmm. I never had it.
Me neither.
And she ordered it and we all had a cookie and we all tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I went out to that kitchen until that entire thing was gone.
Yep.
And yeah. it was a problem. And yeah. the girls would ask, oh, can we go to crumble? Of course. The girls want cookies.
Yeah.
I don't want exactly. cookies. I'm going for them.
Yep. Yeah.
I just happened to eat the whole box of exactly. them, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, because I was like, I've eaten crumble cookie a lot. And you're like, well, what's the sugar level
yeah.
and carb level in it and stuff. So I looked it up. I'm like, oh, that's not bad at all. And so I tell her. And then I realize, oh,
like what
a serving
size?
Is like a fourth of a cookie.
Yeah. Exactly. Those suckers are humongous.
They yeah, are. They're like this.
Yes.
And they come up with all of these flavors.
I know.
That are short term.
And isn't it interesting? But I just had one cookie.
That was my argument.
Yes.
And I remember having this conversation with you.
Yep.
And I was like, but I only have one cookie. But in my head, I know I'm not just having one cookie.
Yeah.
I know I'm eating an entire box of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you eat one cookie, you're having four cookies, right?
Yeah.
Because you said serving size is a fourth.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Right.
So really.
So I'm eating way too much. And then you get that sugar high and you're like, I need it every night.
Absolutely.
I want it. And then it just continues.
Absolutely.
And,
sorry.
Oh, you're
yeah.
Right. Hence the addiction issue, right? Once you start something.
Food addiction is real. I know. I feel you on the, some people don't agree.
Oh no, we have people talk with us that don't agree.
Yeah,
and I go, I identify as a food addict.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
I agree that food addiction is an addiction. And the moment that you don't set boundaries with yourself, mm-hmm. especially after bariatric surgery, especially right after bariatric surgery.
Oh my God, that's like where you need the most.
Mm-hmm. And you know, some people don't maybe have the addiction to sugar as a whole.
Yes.
Maybe I worked with a woman. It was such an interesting, I was so impressed with her. There was one brand of cookie
mm-hmm.
that when she was a child, so it wasn't really an addiction, but she had an emotional dependency.
Okay.
On it.
Okay.
An addiction can be either, you know, a biological, physiological mm-hmm. addiction, or can be a psychological addiction. So there was one brand of cookie that when she was a child and she spent this time with her grandmother and grandma had these cookies and it was just the best feeling to her.
Wow.
And it was the best. And it was the thing in her adult life. If she ate this particular brand of cookie, it was the soothing thing.
Yep.
So she came to me and I was so impressed. She said, I'm worried about having bariatric surgery because I don't know if I can let go of this one particular cookie. And I can't eat them in moderation.
Yeah.
So we talked about the underlying connection and what mm-hmm. that was about and what letting go of this would mean. And, you know, letting go of her connection with her grandma is what mm-hmm. she thought.
Yeah.
And all these things. And so she literally had a food funeral.
Yeah.
For this cookie, this brand of cookie, buried a box of it, made a little marker.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Okay.
But she didn't feel safe. And so what a beautiful way to set a boundary for herself.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about food funerals of like saying
Absolutely.
Goodbye. You go and have your last
Absolutely.
Meal. You know, especially with me, I was like, I took it very seriously.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
8 years ago, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted to go to all these places and say goodbye, especially Olive Garden, because Olive Garden was like my go-to.
Yeah.
It was me and my ex's go-to. That's where we would go. We would wait all year round for the all-you-can-eat pasta.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And so we went and we said goodbye. And I was like, I'm not going to, because at that time I was like, I'm never having sugar again. I'm never having carbs again because you just, that's where your brain goes. And I remember taking it very, very seriously. And we went to Melting Pot. It's one of my favorite places also.
And fondue. I said goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, their teriyaki sirloin. I love it. I still love it, but I can still eat it. And so I think, but there are some foods that, like pasta. Pasta is a trigger for me. Mm-hmm. It is a trigger. I used to eat it 7 nights a week.
Wow.
I would not put protein in it. Like, it was awful. And so I know that having pasta is not good for me.
Yeah.
And so I only have it if it's at a barbecue
or
somebody else makes it.
Yeah.
And then I can just leave it there.
Yeah. And that's a great way to allow for permission for it. Mm-hmm. And then trying it. If it works for you, maintain that. If it doesn't work for you, I encourage people to have a list of foods that you just can't go near.
Oh,
right. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, this is my off limit list.
Okay.
And it's a way of self-protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if somebody's like, do you want to whatever? And it's like, nope, I don't do that. It's just,
it's not, you can't.
It's not an option.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I choose not to.
Yeah.
I put this on my list intentionally. Nobody made me put it. I chose to put this on this list. That's not for me.
Yep.
I think it'd be kind of a good idea, especially right after surgery, to make that list. And then have it on your fridge.
Absolutely.
Oh, and so every day when you go to your fridge, you know what foods you agreed to not have anymore.
That's right.
It's not because you can't have carbs or you can't have sugar.
Well, nobody tells me I can't have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I choose not to drink because I know where that's going to
live. Yeah, you know the other side.
And I don't want to live there anymore.
Yep.
Right.
I never want to live there again.
Yeah.
Well, and we don't want to regain. We don't want to be in that mindset again. So we have to put those boundaries in place
for ourselves.
For ourselves.
So it's back to the people in the house bringing the things that are sabotaging for you. So what can you do if somebody refuses to be respectful and they live in the house too?
Prepping and measuring your food post-op is a beast all in itself. Portion Perfection has actually made it super, super simple. They have bowls, plates, and even a lunch bag called the Kit and Carry where you can have all of the system ready to go.
Especially when you're on a road trip, that thing is a lifesaver.
Yes.
So if you want to get these things to help your journey, just go over to portionperfection.com and use our code 15OSLPOD. And again, that's 15OSLPOD. And you can also go over to our Amazon storefront to pick out any of those that you would like to use.
While we were in Florida, we got to visit one of our favorite bariatric surgeons, Dr. Donald Fridley at Surgical Associates of Bayonet Point. They tailor make all their plans to the unique needs of each patient.
They have this cool thing there. It's an in-body scanner, and you get to do it pre-op and post-op. So that way you can see all the differences and all the changes that happen. And he's also one of the surgeons that does his surgery with robotics. And we got to play with that.
We were
so excited, and we want you to have such a special care that they give. So go over to sabpweightloss.com right now,
or give their office a call at 727-819-9107.
That's right. So, and tell them that the OSLP girl sent you, and they're going to take great care of you.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what to say to that.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because I've even read in Facebook groups, like there, I remember this post because I was upset about it, where they have a pantry. One side's his, one side's hers. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good.
That's a good option.
And they were supposed to just always put their stuff on each other, on their own stuff. But the man started to put his stuff on hers.
Ooh.
And she kept putting it back. And then finally was telling him, and she was asking the people in the group, like, what do I do? Because he won't stop putting it on his, on her side. And it's obviously he's trying to sabotage her. They have their own shelves.
Right.
Yeah. Why is that so hard for some people? So,
what do, honey, when you put your food on my side of the pantry, it angers me.
Mm.
It's scary to me.
Mm.
And you tell me you love me.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust that you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Your actions are not supporting your words.
Ooh. That's pretty powerful.
Can you help me understand that? MF-er. No, don't ask. No.
Don't say MF-er.
As much as you want to.
As much as you want to.
I've learned the hard way.
That'll shut down that conversation.
Oh, yeah. That just becomes a fight then.
Okay. So then husband says what?
Husband says
what? Boy's like, I do love you. And I'm sorry. I'm just used to putting things in there.
Yeah.
Husband. If you continue to put that food on my side of the pantry, I will dispose of it outside in the garbage, and yes. I will run water all over
it. Oh, I love it.
That is ruins perfect.
It, no matter what.
That's then they'll stop perfect. Doing
it. Because it's your house too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not respecting what I'm asking you to do in this house, I shall not respect that, because this is a matter of my life and death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will remove this one way or another.
Yes. I'm asking you to respect. I don't understand. You don't have to here's one of my favorite lines. Write this one down. You don't have to understand, but I would appreciate if you respect it.
Yeah, those are two different things.
Absolutely. It's like, you may never understand. Yeah. How could you understand? This hasn't been a thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing for me. And I'm asking you, as a person who says they love me, to respect this. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, I will show respect for myself by getting rid of it.
And that's a boundary not only that you're setting with your husband or your partner, whoever you're living with, and yourself. And you're saying, I'm not going to stand for this behavior to continue.
Right.
Because it's sabotaging my success.
Without a doubt. There's a book, and I've been sitting here trying to think of the name of it. It's a book on boundaries.
Okay.
And it's not the classic boundaries with the pencil down it. It's a different one. Okay. I'll let you know what it is. You can put it in the notes.
Yes. Yeah. We'll link it below.
And what I love about this book is that she gives examples. It'll be a green light example of a boundary, and then a yellow light, and then a red light, like that one I gave at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
I would appreciate it if you would do this.
Yeah.
I've asked you before. You haven't done it. Third time, it's like, listen, this will not happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's great, because so many people are like, I don't like to upset people. I like to keep the peace. I don't like to speak my mind. We better freaking learn.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that therapy is for, because a lot of people who have struggled with weight don't feel strong enough to stand up for themselves. And I get that.
Yeah.
But then you've got to learn.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've had several fights. Mm-hmm. Around each other, with each other. And it's like, it's nice though, because we can set boundaries with each other for ourselves. And we can say, this behavior that happened, whether it was, you know, most of the time it is completely on accident. We're not meaning it in a malicious way. But we're saying, if you continue this behavior, like this behavior will not stand.
Right.
We cannot have a successful friendship and work relationship if we keep doing this.
And this relationship, a beautiful, beautiful friendship, is very much like a marriage, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have two friends of 30 some years, and you can bet we have had some difficult conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with our friends, even sometimes more than our partners, I think we're more careful.
Yeah.
With our language and with being appropriate. And when you do this, I feel this way because Whereas with the spouse, we might just be like, listen, MF-er.
I'm just like, stop being a fucking idiot.
Just stop.
Just stop
whatever you're doing.
You know what you're doing.
Yes.
So that being said, you guys are a great example of how to work through things. And with our partners, one of my two best friends said to me one day, Connie, what gives you the right to talk to him that way? And I was like, well, shit. Because I don't have the right to talk to him. I wouldn't talk to her that way. I wouldn't talk to my children that way.
Yeah.
And it was a huge change. So with your partner, it would behoove you, all of us, you, to take the extra time, put forth the extra effort, and work through things with them as cautiously and carefully as with a best friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I like that.
And, you know, if you guys hear each other talking to your partners or your families, look at each other and go, what gives you the right to talk to him that way?
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
Really put me in my place, buddy.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It makes you look and you're like, oh, shit, I really am not.
Because nobody has the right to treat anyone with disrespect.
Absolutely.
And there is a reason that I have always, in my relationships, I've never allowed cussing at each other.
Nice.
Like, it's just a personal choice that
good boundary.
I don't want to cuss at my partner. Like, Sometimes it'll be like, you know, we're talking and I just say, you know,
right.
motherfucking yeah, or whatever. Fun, yeah. Yeah. But
calling names.
It's yeah. different if you're saying you're acting like a bitch, you're acting right. like a dick. Like, let's stop doing that. Yes. And see, you know, so you're not always perfect,
right?
But recognizing it and saying, okay, I shouldn't have said it.
Right.
I apologize. I feel like you know, I don't appreciate the way you're talking to me or the way yes. you're behaving or yes. however. Yeah. And I think that's a big one. I think with weight loss surgery and partners, that's why I think divorce is so high. I don't think it's the surgery. I don't think it's the person losing weight. I think it's the standing up for themselves, setting boundaries with themselves and their partner. And the partners don't understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Like one person starts changing their behavior and the other one doesn't come along.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. One person grows, the other one doesn't. We've talked
a lot about this the last couple of days. Like if you're going to have a successful relationship, there's got to be willingness on both parts to grow and learn together because so there's that. Mm-hmm. And then there's also for the person who hasn't had surgery a lot of times, so much insecurity.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not necessarily insecurity like you look great and I don't feel good about it. It's like you're going to leave me.
Yeah,
that's the one.
But we don't have the skills or the language or the courage or the self-knowledge to say, I see you growing and I'm afraid you're going to leave me behind.
Right. Because I remember Eric saying, he's tried to say it was a joke, but we were in the car and he said the whole, like, I'm just afraid, like, you're just, because I didn't want to have sex with him one time. Literally the one time in our whole marriage, I said no. And because I was literally, I've never been
girl,
that tired.
Girl, you need to set boundaries long before that.
Well, I wasn't getting it enough. So I always said yes. I didn't know when I was going to get it. So I was like, let's go. He's ready to go. Like, I'm excited. And then one time I was like, no, I'm just so tired. And next day we're on a drive. And he said that. And he was like, I'm just afraid you're going to leave me. Like, you lost all weight. And now you told me no. And I was like, I want you to know, I will not leave you because of me losing weight. I was kind of rude about this part. I was like, I will leave you because of you. Not because of the weight being lost. Like, you have to check yourself and how you're treating me.
Right.
And it's not about my long weight.
Yeah, size. It doesn't. So. The weight loss isn't the catalyst. Mm-mm. I think it's more of you learn to set those boundaries with yourself and your partner. Yeah. And sometimes the partner just can't figure that out.
And I really think that in the weight loss community or not, so many relationships could be salvaged if people had the skills to talk.
Yeah.
Or the courage to be honest with themselves and with the other person.
Yeah.
But people don't have the skills and the knowledge. And they won't go to therapy.
No.
And so, you know, you got to be willing to ask for help. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to recognize that maybe you need help in this area.
Not and admitting faults too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because not anybody is perfect. And one thing I've definitely learned in therapy is to say, I don't know the reason why they were treating me like that. Right. I don't know. I don't have concrete evidence on why this is happening.
Right.
And maybe my behavior affected that also.
Absolutely. We always have a part. Yep. It may be 5% part. It may be 95% part. Yep, but here's the deal. When couples come in, they want to say, they're doing this, they're doing that. And I'm like, okay, give it to me all. And then I'll say, and what was your part? Mm. And that's what my best friends will say to me now. I'll call them up. And one of my favorite, here's what we do now. So I'll call you up and I'll say, you know what Steve did? That SOB, he blah, 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 blah. And then I'll go on and on and on. And they'll be like, whoa, that's bad. What else? You know?
Right. Blah.
And what was your part, Connie? It's like, well, I know we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
You know?
But let me vent, get it all out.
That's what a good friend does. It's like, okay, bring it all in. You got to vent.
You got to just let it out.
And then what was your part? And which part can you work on? Their part or your part?
Your part. You can't make anybody do anything.
Right.
I think that's the best part about boundaries is you have control. Like, you don't think you have control, but you do have control. Right. And instead of using that control towards food and eating and stuffing those feelings down, use that control to figure out what you're feeling and set boundaries with yourself and others.
Well, that's the whole idea behind getting away from emotional eating. Mm-hmm. So rather, if you can pause or if you can call a friend and you can process this, I'm really pissed off at the boss.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling? I'm feeling angry.
Yeah.
What does that anger tell you you need in this moment? Not physically, emotionally.
Emotionally.
So I might need comfort or I might need to get rid of this angry energy.
Yeah.
So how can you do that in a healthy way?
Work out. That's what I do.
Yeah. Or you can just go out in the car and scream and holler and have a fit.
Yeah.
Because if you're at work, you can't just say, well, I'm going to go work out.
Yeah. No. No,
I'm back in the office in 5 minutes.
So I've done it in our studio. I've screamed in our studio.
Yes.
And I've screamed in the car before. Or listen to really loud music and just sing with
music.
It.
Music, that's my thing. If I'm stressed out, I just blare music and just sing as loud as I can.
Yeah.
And just, it brings me out of whatever is looming in my head.
So if people could learn to get in touch with their emotions instead of trying to get rid of them, because they don't like how it feels.
Right.
It's like, what is this emotion? Identify it. What is it telling me I need? I need comfort. I need, you know, release. I need affirmation. I need validation. I need company. What is it telling you need? Then how do I get that in a healthy way?
Yeah, I like that. Because really, like, where not our fight started, but, like, there was a spot where I literally, like, got up from my back porch. And I was like, I'm going inside and listening to music. I'm fuming right now. And
that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. I let her do her thing.
I was like, I can't be around anybody right now.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just you. I just couldn't be around anyone.
Yeah.
I was like, nope.
Yep. So I went down to the studio and I was working downstairs and let her do her thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, like, at that moment, there was nothing I could do to fix whatever was going on in
you. Right. Because you had no idea what was going on.
No. So in your brain, you needed to take that time and you needed to set a boundary of, I need space.
Right.
And so the best thing I think partners, friends, anybody can do is allow them to take what they need.
Yeah.
As long as it's not harming.
Well, and here's another thing, because that was a real trigger for me. If Steve said, I'm going to leave or it brought up absolute terror, sheer terror in me because I thought he's leaving me.
Yeah.
Right.
So we had to learn that he'll say, I have to take some time away from you. I will be back. Because that calmed the inner terror.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, he's, you know, just, we don't know what triggers. So if we can learn, when you say you're leaving, I get hysterical.
Yeah.
And then I chase you and do stupid things, right?
Yeah.
And I really get crazy. So if you could say, I will be back. I'm not leaving you.
I'm leaving the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, go.
Because our rule is pause. We'll tell you.
We have pause now.
Pause now.
That's
a new development. But I do like the ending of this.
I do like that. And I, because she has.
Because I have that.
Yeah. I was going to.
That's fine.
You care.
Oh, okay. I have full on abandonment issues from a couple people.
Yes.
Yes.
And apparently you're one of them.
I'm one of them because we didn't talk for three years, even though I've been back in your life for God knows how long. But there's still that fear instilled in her where it's like, I think if I'm saying, okay, I'm calling pause, I will be back.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Yes.
Do that last part.
Yes.
Cause then it will totally help the inner person be like,
yes,
they are not leaving forever.
Right.
Maybe
not
like 20
you.
Minutes. Like it's
and,
fine.
Yeah. And the personal responsibility there comes in to say, you know, Kelly, when you say you're leaving, I have absolute terror.
Yeah.
And you might not know that about yourself for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
we know it now.
We know
it now.
It
would really help me if you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm not leaving our friendship.
Right.
I'm not leaving our business. I'm not leaving our podcast or anything. I am literally like, I don't know what to do with you. Just go back. Yeah.
True
That's
story.
Literally
you
what it is.
It's a Harry Potter wand.
I know. I'm like,
Expelliarmus.
Oh, what does that do? Does that make me
That
go
makes
away?
You die.
Oh, well, don't do that.
I don't want that.
What's the
but
other one?
Oh, no. That's never mind.
I thought it was like,
Expelliarmus.
For a minute.
That's like.
Disappear.
No, it's like.
Do I get like a.
Disarming
box?
You.
Oh, there you go.
Disarming. Yeah, it's disarming you.
So just
Expelliarmus. I was thinking it was the other one.
Yeah, that shall not be named or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't kill me.
No, I don't want to kill you. But yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's good for partners, especially saying like, we're going to pause.
Mm-hmm.
This is becoming a little bit heightened and we need to kind of, and I have a really hard time naming my emotions.
Oh yeah. A lot of people do because for so long we ignored them or we got rid of them in any way, shape, possible.
Yep.
And that's a big part in therapy is learning to identify how you feel. Yeah. I had no clue.
Yeah.
I knew anger is what I knew.
I knew anger and scared.
Yeah, well, that was good.
Yeah.
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 I was just either going to put on a happy smile or I was rageful.
Oh.
And that covered up all the other ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mine was, yeah, I would say the fake smile. I would add that one. Yes. So it was angry, fake smile, scared.
Yeah.
Those are my three.
Yeah. So when you have surgery, take the, you know, let it be an opportunity, not only to get rid of the weight, but to learn who you are.
Yeah.
Yes. And to really learn, what was this all about? What purpose was food serving? And what do I need to learn about myself to have the healthiest life possible?
Yeah, and to sit down with the emotions.
Yeah.
And really sit in it.
Be with them.
Because it's hard to do it. I'm still...
It's terrifying.
Still learning. It's very hard for me to do. But it's necessary because I don't feel as out of control.
Absolutely.
If I can say, I'm really angry with you right now. I'm really hurt by you right now. I need to take a break. But even sitting by myself, I'm not running to the fridge to eat all the food because I put a name to those emotions.
That's right.
Whereas before running to the fridge, I didn't have to think about it.
Right.
I thought I heard it.
I heard it too.
I think we have a fish behind us, guys.
I think we had a creature.
I love it.
It was bubbling.
I wish I could say I couldn't identify mine, but I know a lot of my feelings.
Yeah. Yes.
But I've learned them when I was little.
You did.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I just had such chaos around me.
Yeah.
So, like, for a while, I was just, like, in my head and just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just feel scared or I feel sad or I feel mad or, like, or the fake face because mom would hit your stomach and be like, suck it in and suck it up and walk out the door. That's what you did. No one, that literally, suck it in, suck it up. No one cares about your feelings. So just keep walking.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh.
No.
Those literal words?
Uh-huh. I think she still says that to Michael. Like, no one cares. Because that's what sucks.
What
like
a message, buddy.
We were all talking and no one cared. Yep. So literally, that's why, like, I didn't want to tell people. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to tell people about getting surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I didn't post on Instagram or anywhere. Because I'm like, who cares? Who matters? Like, why would someone want to look at my face? Like, why would they care? I had no idea.
Do you know how sad that I feel when I hear that?
No.
Because you should have people surrounding you that care.
Well, Well, and also, my dad one time, I was cleaning out the attic, and he was getting older, and, you know, kind of cleaning out the house.
Right, yeah.
And I found this picture of this man, and I said to my dad, who is this?
Yeah.
He said, it's my father.
Whoa.
I said, this is your father? I was in my mid-30s. I'm like,
wait a minute.
How is it I'm in my mid-30s, and I've never seen a picture of your father?
Yeah.
Who was... died way before. I mean, when my dad was a child, but...
But still.
And you know what his answer? I was like, Dad, why don't you ever talk about your family? Why don't you ever talk...
Yeah.
And his answer was so sad. He said, who would have given a shit? Like, who would have cared?
Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Oh!
I would have.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it was just so sad to me that clearly my dad felt like, who cares about me? And that's exactly the message you were giving.
Yeah.
That is tragic.
But... You make sure that Dylan does not feel like that.
No.
He is a very open child with his feelings. And it's okay.
I'm like, it's okay to tell me the things.
Yeah.
Like, I always tell him, I was like, your opinion matters.
Yep.
And I want you to feel heard because I didn't feel that way, obviously.
Yeah.
So I try to do everything. Me and my brother both, me and Matt, because he has 5 kids. And so we both were like, mm-mm. We're not doing this shit.
Yes.
We cannot keep doing this.
Yeah.
Because they were taught the same thing. And I think that's the deal with me and Matt. Like, we were just, we knew how they grew up.
Right.
So we just gave them the pass.
Right.
We're like, okay.
Well, you were children too.
Yeah. We're like, well, you know, they had a shitty life and a shitty childhood. So at least it's better.
Because, do you know what? I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Because one of the hardest things I have found in the 30 years I've done therapy is people feel so reluctant to say, that sucked that my mother did that, or I'm really angry that my mother did that, because they feel like they're betraying their parents.
Yeah.
There's a difference. I mean, as you work through things, you become compassionate. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where they came from.
Yep.
I understand why. But it's not a pass. It's like, as a child, I was still hurt.
Yeah.
As a child, it still angers me. You know, so it's having the anger, but also having compassion for them.
Yeah.
Realizing they didn't have the skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're taking responsibility to find them yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you've done with Dylan.
Because that's why I get mad at the way that like my mom and dad were. Because I was like, you could have tried.
Yeah.
Why aren't you know fucking trying?
Right. And that's what the word I use. I tell people your parents were ill-equipped.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite words. They were ill-equipped.
Yep.
Now, could they have learned? Probably.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why it kind of ticks me off.
Yeah.
When people say they did the best they could with what they had. Did they?
Did they?
I don't know. I don't get to judge that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they did.
Maybe
they didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
But it happened. And now you have to deal with the aftermath.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And you can deal with it positively or negatively.
That's right.
Well, and that's why I've learned boundaries a long time ago because of mom.
Mm-hmm. You had to put up boundaries.
Put my boundary there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now like with even my ex, like we have to have toxic people away from me.
Yep.
Because you do affect the whole day.
You do.
The toxic people do. And you have to like, I had to talk to myself about that boundary because I'm like, oh, my mom's going to be really mad at me for doing this. Or Eric's going to be really mad at me for da, 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 da. I don't want to make waves, do the whole thing. And I'm like, no. I've dealt with this too long.
Right.
I'm 36. Like, this is a problem. Right. This happened to me like 3 or 4 years ago with my mom.
Right.
So I'm like, I have to do something because I don't want to keep continuing this situation.
Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yep.
Oh, right? I like that line.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you cannot count on the other person to make the change.
You have to start it.
If it's going to be, it's up to me.
Yep.
Improvement begins with I. Do you want all the questions?
Oh, I hear that. They're great. I love this.
I love it.
So fun.
This was a great conversation. Yes. I think it was needed.
Yes.
And I love that we're on the lake.
I do too.
Love it.
But actually talking about boundaries.
So I honestly think as difficult as it is to set boundaries with other people, it's harder to do it with ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, do what you got to do. If you need to learn, start with other people, start with other people.
Yeah.
But eventually recognize, you know, you guys are doing it. You got to learn to set boundaries with yourself and say no to things just because you want it or just because it'll make you feel better in the moment.
Or if it's just because it makes it easy. Yeah. I hear that all the time. It's like, well, it was easy.
Right.
Well, who cares?
And would you put up with that? And it always go back to analogies with kids because you wouldn't put up with that damn excuse from your kids. It's like, well, wah, F and wah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We would literally tell them to suck it up. So why are we not telling ourselves
that? Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Such an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
I have loved this time with you guys.
Oh, my God.
You guys
can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Oh.
We'll have a number two.
Yeah.
And actually, this is number two.
This is number two.
We've already done one with you last year.
Yeah.
This is number two on the lake.
Yes. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back to Atlanta.
We'll see where we do the next one.
Yeah.
The pool.
There
you go.
The pool. The pool's really nice.
I love the pool.
All right. Well, we love you guys.
Thank you.
We will see you next time. Bye. Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcasts. And don't forget to go over to patreon.com/OSLP for all your support needs.
That's right. And we even have our own website. So go over to ArsleyLivePodcast.com, sign up for our newsletter, get that free ebook, and then don't forget to get your merch. And also, we're on YouTube, guys. So type in our name, hit that bell, and hit subscribe, and you're going to see our lovely faces every single Tuesday. So thank you for listening to Arsley Live Podcast, where we are breaking that stigma one episode at a time.